Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In our series on experiencing the Holy Spirit. Just grasp that God in me. It's just not you. When you're a believer, it's God in you, Jesus in you. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's a thrill. We talked about that last week, that He came. And put the next slide up. The series that we're in here is on the subject of the Holy Spirit. Last week, He came. Our personal indwelling deity is alive in us. This morning is He comforts us. His truth guides, gives peace, joy. Next Sunday, you can't miss the next three Sundays. He convicts the world of sin, of God's righteousness and eternal judgment. That's the Holy Spirit's job of convicting. Powerful statement there. And then the fourth lesson, I love it. He consumes, don't you love that word? He consumes us with fruitfulness and fills us and makes us full, and we're dominated by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then last we were called. We get gifts and we're used and we're empowered for ministry. Amen? That's the Holy Spirit. And catch all next three lessons. They're great. I'm going to be sending out emails to everybody. If we do not have your email, you need to give us your email. Write it down and stick it on the desk in the secretary's office. I email everybody with the verses that I'm using in all these sermons. I had a person to call and said, thank you for the verses. They can read them before they get here. I want you to know, if you read my verses before you get here, my sermon will get better. Well, boy, I like to have something, you know. You know, today is the comforter. And I seen some girls with some bears. Little bears. And how many of you still sleep with a little animal? Come on, adults. Come on. Put your hand up. Little animal, little bear, little bear, little comforter, little cutie thing, you know, little my blankie, you know, the comforters that we have. He's called the comforter. If you get nothing from a message, let Him comfort you. If you're troubled, is that right? Grab Him and trust Him and let the principles and the promises come alive in your response, your emotional response. And instead of going to pieces, you trust Him, you believe Him, you claim Him, and you get comfort. Amen? That He's the comforter. And that is so, so important. John chapter 14. Andy, come and read us for us.
John chapter 14, verse 16, and there's going to be several other verses as well. John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Thank you.
Amen. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Our first point here is just the comforter. The comforter here is just the meaning of the word comfort here is the one who comes to aid. If you look in your concordances or whatever, you'll see this. It's the lawyer. It's intercessor. Some of your translations have encourager. Some of you have advocate. Is that right? Some of your translations says advocate instead of comforter. An advocate just means supporter. He's helping you. He's your counselor. He's a consoler. He's a helper. The Greek word, it's paraclete, comes of two words. It just means to from close beside, to come beside, to make a call, okay? And it is one who pleads another's cause before a judge. He's your helper. He's your supporter. He's your encourager. He's your counselor. He's your comforter. That's simply what the word means. And it is amazing there to realize that that's what he is. And he's really the one who, is that right? And let him. The first point is there's another comforter coming. Here in John chapter 16, verse 5. Now I'm going to be jumping around here in John 16, 14, 15, 16. John 16, 5, it says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me." You're leaving? You know, that's the disciples. You know, we like you here. You're leaving, he says, "I'm going away and none ask me whether I go." Verse 6, John 16, 6. "Because I have said unto these things unto you," sorrow, you know, their emotion. You can't, you know. You know. It's kind of selfish, and filled their hearts. Verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It is better. It is superior. It is advantageous for you." Catch this. "That I go away. For if I go away, the what? The what? The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." Guaranteed. He says, it's better. When Jesus was here, he was only with you one person at a time. Okay? Now the Holy Spirit lives in all of us at the same time fully. Amen. That's the key. He says, now I'm going to send one. Look at John 14, verse 18. John 14, verse 18. It says, "I will not leave you comfortless." You know, I will not let you be bereaved or an orphan or fatherless or destitute or desolate. "I will come to you." The Holy Spirit is Jesus, literally, fully in us. They don't get over it. "Another comforter just like me. I'm going to send you another comforter." And verse 16, "I'm going to send you another comforter." Chapter 14, verse 16, "I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter," another divine deity just like me. It's going to be better because me is going to be in all of you at the same time fully. And he says, it's better, it's expedient. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And verse 16, chapter 14, and it says this, it says that he, you know, "I'm going to pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, that he," the Father, 14, 16, "may be with you." It's not only Jesus in us from last week, it's the Father also in us. And he says, "I'm going to be with you forever." Wow. You know, forever I will be with you. You have a person, a divine person living in you, a divine power living in you that's going to be with you forever, in you forever. And it's just like Jesus. And the word truth is the next point. Chapter 15, verse 26. Keep flowing with me. 14, 15, 16. Chapter 15, verse 26. "But when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father," all three of the Trinity right there, "even the Spirit of truth." That's a big statement. He's not only Jesus in us, he's truth. I want you to think about the word truth. It's a big word. Truth. We have a day that believes in no absolute truth. Is that right? Anything goes. There's no right. There's no wrong. It's just all as you see it. You know, is there a God? Well, I don't know. You know, no consistent or constant truth above what I think or feel. You know, where did everything come from? You know, the Big Bang? I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, whatever. No truth. What? How do I know what's right and wrong? You know, there's no absolutes. I want you to know, I'm glad we have some absolutes. I'm glad we have absolutes in the Bible. It says stealing is wrong. Is that right? Stealing. And we have things. This is wrong. Young people, these are not rules to hold you back. These are rules to make you have joy. And it's so important to realize that we have the gospel truth. You know, what happens when we die? I don't know. Billy Graham says, hey, don't get perturbed. He says, I'm not dead. I'm more alive than I've ever been. And that's truth. Truth is the way things really are. Reality. Truth is that which is absolute, constant, unchangeable, reliable, faithful, dependable. Amen? There are some laws of nature. Is that right? Gravity. Is that truth? You try to jump up and what happens? You know, gravity is there. The law of gravity, the law of motion, the law of cosmic order. Isn't it great that we have cosmic order? It's beautiful. God created all. To have all of these laws of nature, you have to have a creator. You have to have an absolute creator. You can't have some absolute laws of nature and not have something that's absolute. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, the will, the character, the glory, and the being of God. That's wild. Truth is the self-expression of God. Only God is truth.
Amen.
That's a big statement. And a big statement. The New Testament, Jesus said these things. He called himself truth in John 16:6. He was full of truth in John 1:14. He told the truth in Mark 12:32. The words he spake were true in Revelation 21:5. The way of God in truth, Matthew 22:16. He taught about truth in John 8:31. He bare witness of the truth, John 18:37. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I'm so good. Only God's book, the Bible. Only God's book, the Bible, is God's written truth, recorded, communicated, preserved. You go, wow. Matthew 22:31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken to you by God? I'm so glad we have truth. The Bible is truth. And Jesus is truth. And the Holy Spirit always speaks truth. We have a day where some people grab the Holy Spirit and think that, well, the Holy Spirit told me this. If the Holy Spirit says, if you think the Holy Spirit said something to you and it's not according to Jesus or the Bible, He didn't say it. We dealt with that last week. It is important to realize that the Bible's truth. And truth, if you follow it, gives you peace and joy. And if you don't follow it, it gives you cursing and misery. We have a whole world that's finding that out. And it's so sad to catch that and realize that's just terrible what's going on. And then we have this statement. Put this next statement up here. This is really good. I know you can't remember it all, but this is really good. It says, try defining truth without a reference to God and see how quickly all such definitions fail. The moment you begin to ponder the essence of truth, you are brought face to face with the requirements of a universal absolute, the eternal reality of God. Big statement. Without God, the whole concept of truth instantly becomes nonsense, and every imagination of the human heart therefore turns to sheer foolishness. Romans 1:28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's what people are doing today, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Are people self-destructing today? And it's because they don't have truth. They don't have what's right, what's wrong. If I feel it's right, it's right. If I don't like it, you know, it's all up to me. No, God is true and His Word is true. And man, if we would follow it, we would be comforted. That's the message this morning. Truth is, that which is always right or wrong, good or evil, moral or immoral, blessed or cursed, heaven or hell. Huh? And I'm so glad I have truth to guide by. I don't have to, well, what do you think? No. What does God think? What does God say? And if I obey it, I'll be blessed and happy and content and my family for generations. Amen? Woo! That is the greatness of truth. Let me move on. The third one here is He guides. He guides in truth. He's the teacher of truth. Let's go to chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall speak, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He's the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. How many of you weren't too good in school? How many are liars? Okay. I'm so glad that He's the teacher. He's the teacher! If you will open this book, teenagers, young adults, older adults, He will teach you! I love that, because I'm slow and I don't get it sometimes. He's the teacher. He guides you. He's the mentor into all truth. He communicates it. He will open your mind to it. And that is so important. Secondly, He's going to teach you things. Put the next one up. He not only the teacher, He teaches. He does the teaching. He does the communicating. In chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. Is that right? He's the teacher, and He does the teaching, the communicating, the opening of my mind. It's wonderful to catch that. And I love this next one. He's the remembrance. How many of you have a problem remembering? And as I get older, I have more problems remembering. And He says He's not only the teacher, He's not only teaching, He's taught. He helps me in recall. I just love it when I can't think of a verse and He brings it to my mind. Amen. I love it when I can't think of somebody's names and He helps me. Or I can't think of something and the older I get it here, but I can't get it out here. Is that true? There's a problem somewhere. Okay? And he's the teacher. He's the teaching. And He's the taught. He's the recall. He's promised that. He says, folks, if you will open it up, if you will grab truth and start studying it, I'm the teacher, I'm the teaching of it, and it'll be taught to you, and I'll recall it. I'll do everything. You just got to read it and study it. And He's the Holy Spirit. He'll guide us into all truth. He'll teach us all things. And He'll bring all things to our remembrance. And it's wonderful. That's truth. All of that is truth. All five of those points. Another, truth, guides, teach, remembrance. If you grab the truth, the precepts of God, these are my blankies. These are my comforters. We wrap these around us. Isn't it great to grab the Ten Commandments? Ten Commandments. And wrap them around you, huh? And let them what? Comfort you. And the precepts of God, if you obey them, God will bless you. They're the truths of God. And He's the teacher, and He's the teaching, and He's the taught. And if we would just put them in our lives and start obeying the precepts, we would find peace and joy. And then there's the promises of God. All the different promises of God. This is a more unspiritual blankie. It only has one verse on it. And it says right there, with God, all things are what? Possible. And that's very important that we grab the promises of God. And if we believe them, we claim them, we stand upon them. Back on the back wall back there, these are the energizing promises. And if you need some verses to lift you through your day, get this piece of paper. Just a great bunch of verses, front and back. Small print, put as many as I could on it. Okay, these are great verses in the Bible. If you're down, distressed, discouraged, fearful, if you grab this piece of paper and read the words of Scripture, God will raise you up and give you peace. The promises of God. The promises of God in Isaiah 41 verse 10. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. In Matthew 11 verse 28. Come unto me, all ye are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's what it says. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And then in Romans 8:28, and we know, is that right? That what? All things work together for to him that love God, called according to his purpose. Also on it is 1 Peter 5 verse 7. It says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Steadfast in your faith, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. Wow. And then Jeremiah 29, you know this, for I have plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your hearts. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Huh? These are great verses. One more. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, what? But such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. These are the promises of God. If you take the truth, the Holy Spirit is Jesus. He is absolute Bible God truth. He's the teacher of it. He's the teaching of it. He will have taught you and recall. And if you grab those truth, it will produce peace. Is that right? Peace. Peace is so important. The calmness, the confidence, the hope, the trust in God. And you realize that this is awesome to have the peace of God, because this is the energizing of the promises. Peace is just truth applied, lived, claimed. In John 14, verse 27, we're right there on it. Peace. Isn't that a good word? Peace. Is the world crying for peace today? Everybody, peace. Sarah, let's have peace. You cannot have peace without the Prince of Peace. And if you have the Comforter, you should have peace. Because he's the God of truth, the Holy Spirit of truth. He's the teacher of it. He's the teaching of it. He's the recall of it. Peace. John 14, verse 27. Everybody look at it. Peace, Jesus says, I leave with you my peace I give unto you. It's not as the world give it. Does the world try to give you peace today? We have peace when their circumstances are all going good. We have peace. No, peace and joy comes when even bad circumstances. It says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Come on, there's going to be troubling come. Neither let it be afraid. You've got my peace. Chapter 16, verse 33. Chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have what? Peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. See, there's why are you struggling? Because you are not claiming truth. Jesus in you, the Holy Spirit, teaching you and you're not claiming it, applying it, the principles, and obeying them, and the promises, claiming them, and if you will obey the principles and claim the promises, God will give you peace. The intellect, you have to get truth. The will is peace. You determine, I believe that, and I'm going to stand upon that. And that gives you peace. And it's very important that we grasp that and realize that that's what it's all about. And then we have joy. Put the next one up. We have joy. And that is what is produced. Let me give you a point for tonight. Tonight we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. And we're going to just explore joy more than I'm going to give you this morning. The paper back there on joy. I have a paper back there on Billy Graham. I think you should get it. I think you should tell your children and your grandchildren. We need not to forget that there was a man in America that preached Jesus to the whole world, huh? We need not to let that die, that truth, that the thought that God used him and raised him up. And wow, don't let that die, because that's good. The papers are back there. Truth plus peace, claiming it, equals joy. In John 7, verse 38 and 39, you don't have to turn there. He says, I come and I'm going to give the Holy Spirit to you, and it's going to be like a river flowing out of you. And when you get truth, that's the river flowing in you. Just keep it coming in. When you're having troubles, when you don't know what to do, when you're stressed, when it's all gone wrong, grab your Bible, pray to the Holy Spirit, and read. Is that right? And reread. And then, if you realize it's truth, and the Holy Spirit will teach it to you and remind you of it, and then if you claim it, mentally, by your will, you'll have peace in the midst of the storm. Why do you have peace? Everything's going wrong. Because I believe Romans 8:28. I believe 1 Corinthians 10:13. Is that right? I believe. Wow. That's peace. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Have peace. And then joy is the emotion. We have the intellect, truth. We have the will is peace. And then joy. Peace is, oh man, I'm just trusting him. Joy is, you know, joy is the outward. And we need joy. Joy, do you think we're going to be joyful and jumping up and down and excited being in heaven? Woo! It's better than going to a Notre Dame game when they win. Yeah. Notice I said, when they win. Okay. Tim and I one time went to a Bulls game when the Bulls were good. And and we went to watch them play the Pacers. And it was the year they were winning so many. That game they got beat by the Pacers. And people were in the stadium and they were just leaving by hordes, like in the fourth quarter. So we went down, sat closer. We got right down to the court. It was great. We started cheering for the Pacers. Might as well be happy, huh? You know, I don't really care who wins, you know. And is joy a choice? It's a choice. Is peace a choice? You've already been, Jesus already says, my peace I leave with you. You got it. Claim it. Through the principles and the promises. Claim it. Believe it. Apply it. Rest in it. Trust Him in the storm. And then it produces joy. And you're exuberant. It's emotion coming out of you after you trusted truth and believed peace and you accepted peace and claimed peace. Joy should be the outcome. And He says, I'm going to give this to you. And it's wonderful and it's gushing. Truth gushing in and peace applying it and joy gushing it out. John chapter 16, verse 20. Look at it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. But ye shall sorrow, so ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into what? You know, Jesus is leaving. Everybody else is excited. And your sorrow, I want you to know, in 3 days you're going to see me again. And then I'm going to be with you for 40 days and I'm going to heaven. And then one day I'm going to come back. Be joyful. Get up every morning and look up. Don't you like our new lights? Isn't it beautiful? Have you noticed? I look better. You can see all the blemishes. This is exciting. We've been working on this. And that's exciting. To realize that God gives us joy. Chapter 16, verse 22. Chapter 16, verse 22. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again. You claim that truth. It gives you peace. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take away from you. Not a matter of the situation or the trial, the testing. Only one thing takes joy away from you, and it's a three-letter word: sin. If you're not having joy, you're probably sinning and playing games with it. Have no joy. You should have joy. Truth gives peace, and peace gives joy. And the Holy Spirit, that's His job to pound it into you. Our last verse here, chapter 15, verse 11. Chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that whose joy is it? It's Jesus' joy. My joy, Jesus' joy, might remain in you. I'm not going to hit the word remain till I get to the one that it just says He consumes us. That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy, you claiming my joy and making it your joy, might be full. I'm going to preach on the word full when we get to He consumes us. But we have joy. We have joy. James 1, 2 and 4. And King James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I have the New Living behind me here. Look at it. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, catch this, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That's powerful. When I'm faced, this is terrible, I'm stressed, it's a problem, I don't know what to do. If you'd stop and catch truth and peace and joy, you could say, God's trying to show me something. Huh? God's trying to teach me something. This is an opportunity for me to claim joy in God. Verse 3 says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. It's wonderful. Verse 4, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And I said there, experiencing Holy Spirit peace and joy. That's what it's all about. And Romans, or Psalm 51, let me just read it in King James here. Psalm 51, you know this, it says, verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a new heart, a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy spirit of truth. Amen? Every head bowed, every head closed. Go to the last slide, please. Last one. Are you claiming comfort? Is God comforting you? Are you realizing that Jesus is the Holy Spirit in you? And it's truth, absolute truth. It works. It's real. and if you'll study it, he'll teach it to you. He'll remind you of it. He'll bring it to your mind. And if you grab that truth and just cram it in your brain, when you act upon it, you'll have peace. And emotion from peace gives you joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Do you got it? The Holy Spirit was given to you so that you would have truth come alive, and it would result in you having peace in your life, which would produce joy in your emotions. And that's the thrill of being saved, is the joy of the Lord. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Just get excited about truth that saves you, and claim peace, rest, and then resulting in joy. How many this morning say, "Preacher, I need more joy in my life. I need more joy." Can you raise your hand? Every hand should be up. I need more joy. I want you to know the Holy Spirit is alive in you as a believer, and you should have Jesus' joy becoming your joy. If it's not, you're not in the Bible enough. And if you're in the Bible a lot and you're not claiming the truths of it, you're not believing the precepts and the promises, you're not claiming peace, which results in joy. You had to have peace before you get to joy. And joy is promised. I gave it to you. You got the Comforter. Man, read John 14, 15, 16 till it comes alive, because he wants Christians to have peace and joy. You know, in the world you'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's the key. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, my, don't leave without talking to one of us. Person sitting beside you, talk to them. There's nothing like having a God that's absolute and truth, and he's written it all down in the Bible, and he gave us the Holy Spirit to teach it to us and to bring it to our remembrance so that we could claim peace and result in joy. My, as we sing our song here, let the truth of this come alive, because peace and joy are promised from truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.